Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
845 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass tonight on the updates. John Johnson. Tucker Bagley's on the producing. And John Johnson, of course, on the updates. You guys with us. 888-729-9494. That is how you get aboard. We'll get back to all the phone calls on the Eagles. And on my insistence that John Middleton here pays the tax and gets this Phillies team from where they are now into a better spot. Helping that, of course, is their new, I imagine, number two starter. They could surprise us and trade for someone or sign someone even bigger. But I would imagine right now it's going to be Zach Wheeler as the number two guy. And I wanted to bring on someone that's seen a lot of Zach Wheeler. He used to host a radio show on the station the Mets games were on. Pre-game, I would hear him. Post-game, I would hear him. This guy, Pete McCarthy, he's seen a lot of Zach Wheeler. He's going to join us right now to talk about Zach Wheeler, and we'll touch on a little Monday Night Football as well. Pete, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing, Joe?
Good, and we're trying to wrap our mind around the idea that Zach Wheeler got $118 million.
Me too.
Look, Pete, you watch him a lot. I think he's a good pitcher, but I don't even think this is an opinion as much as the fact. He's the least accomplished $100 million pitcher maybe ever. I mean, he hasn't thrown 800 innings in the major leagues. He hasn't had back-to-back 30-start years, never threw 200 innings. The stuff is there. Had a couple good years the last couple years. What's your thoughts first on the contract and then two on the pitcher we're getting here?
The contract kind of stunned me because I thought he might be one of those guys that when the Mets made the qualifying offer, maybe the market dries up on him like it did with Dallas Keuchel last year. And instead you look at it and Wheeler's probably going to get more than Madison Bumgarner. And they're similar in age. And you start thinking about career accomplishments. Obviously there's a bit of a gap there, but I think the gamble the Phillies are making on Wheeler is just, hey, we're paying for the 5 years in the future, not for what this guy has done in the past. And teams are bullish on Wheeler because he's got phenomenal stuff. Phillies fans are well familiar with it. He could do fastball approaching 100 miles per hour, strikeout stuff. Mets had a lousy defense over the last few years, and I know it won't be that different in Philadelphia, but you know that's something that inflated his numbers a little bit these last two. And the most important thing for Wheeler has been he has his health back. He's been healthy these last 2 years, especially this past season in 2019 after missing 2 years with Tommy John. And you know, that's what you're hoping if you're the Phillies that, hey, we can untap some potential that this guy has and we're going to get the best 5 years of his career. So that's what you're spending on when you look at that nine-figure contract.
Pete, why, in your opinion, when a guy with this kind of stuff averages, you know, upper 90s, why is he never, and let's just go to the last 2 years, because I think we know early in his career injuries set him back, but why the last 2 years has it not all come together? Had a great second half in 18, had a very good second half in 19, but the first half of 19 was pretty pedestrian. What is it that he has not been able to have that one season where it all comes together and he's, you know, great from start to finish?
We kind of have to break it down into different sections. As you mentioned, he was phenomenal at the second half of 2018. From the All-Star break on, he pitched about as well as anybody in baseball, including his teammate Jacob deGrom. He was that good in that stretch, so the expectation certainly rose for him going into 2019. And it wasn't that impressive a season. The biggest issue that he had was pitching with men on base. He really struggled with men on base, and he'd have that one inning, that one batter where things just get away, and all of a sudden there's three or four runs scored. To his credit, he did often go deep into games. And he's a guy who's going to give you seven innings, and it may not be perfect after a lot of games where it was four runs, three runs to the back end of those outings, but he's more than capable of pitching deep into ball games. I think there was some bad luck, as I talked about. The Mets defense has been horrendous for years, and they're just plays like that that hurt you, that sting. And, you know, Wheeler's always been a good teammate, taking that stuff well, but there's no doubt that that's had an effect on, you know, his numbers, especially last year.
Pete, the one thing that I've watched him a lot too, but the one thing I've always wondered about him, you go to baseball's best pitchers, and this isn't always the case, but I would say most of the time, the best and truly dominant pitchers in baseball get a lot of strikeouts. You know, when they have a chance with guys on base, like you mentioned, two guys on, two outs, Max Scherzer will strike someone out instead of letting a dribbler allow a run. Jacob DeGrom's strikeout rate has risen as he's gotten better and better. Verlander, you are the best of the best. This guy throws so hard, and yet I look at his yearly strikeout rates, Pete, and it's good, right? It's about 8.5, 9 per 9 innings, which is good, but it's not 10, it's not 11, it's not anything close to Gerrit Cole striking out 13 per 9. Is it the way he pitches? Is it the movement? Why so much contact or less than strikeouts you might want with him?
Well, I think this is something that teams look at with how the Mets have asked their pitchers to attack hitters and not as many high fastballs and certain things like that. That teams look at it and say, hey, why don't you throw the four-seamer instead of the two-seamer? And we can use analytics and we're going to take this information and we can bump a pitcher up a spot. And I think that's what a lot of teams look at with Zach Wheeler. And the Astros, of course, have been the most obvious team with this, where Justin Verlander goes to Houston and all of a sudden he's a Cy Young Award winner again. And I don't think there's another team that's that dramatic, but I think there are teams that feel they're ahead of the curve and that they can use that information to get a pitcher to go to the next level. What I would caution about Wheeler with that, even if the stuff is there and, all right, if you ask him to pitch a little bit differently, maybe you can get a little bit more out of him. This is a guy who does not like change. He has said that in the past to The Athletic. I think he was talking about generally in his life, and he's someone that wanted to stick with the Mets. In fact, he called up the Mets after he got the big offer from the Phillies and asked them to match. They did not make him an offer, and so he's in Philadelphia now. He's also someone that has pushed back at some of the analytics in the game earlier in his career. He was vocal against the shift and frustrated when a ball would fall in that ordinarily would, and not focus on all of those stinging line drives to the right side that would turn into outs instead of hits. So I do think that the idea that you're just going to coach this guy up and the analytics are going to come in and make all these changes, I think he might resist some of that. So I don't see it. Him dramatically becoming this different pitcher just because he's in a different organization.
That is interesting. Pete McCarthy joining us here. You hear him, WFAN, 1010 Wins in New York, also the host of the Metrospective podcast over with The Athletic. So, Pete, the Phillies land Zach Wheeler. The NL East is, look, it was a really good division last year. Phillies finished in fourth place, disappointing year. What's your kind of big picture view on this thing now? Phillies, again, trying to improve. Mets, we'll see what they do. They lose Wheeler. Braves added a lot, and the Nationals have some big questions after winning the World Series. What's kind of your thought heading into the winter meetings on this division?
Well, right now, the Braves are the front runners. They've improved their team about as much, if not more, than anybody else in the division, and they're already the division champs. Obviously, the Nationals didn't see what happens with Strasburg and Rendon. My guess would be they re-sign Strasburg and lose Rendon, and that's a huge loss. Anthony Rendon is such a phenomenal hitter, one of the top hitters in this division over the years, so if they lose him, I think that's a big knockdown for the Washington Nationals. I think the Mets are good, and they're in the mix. I mean, it's a tough division once again, but I do like where the Phillies are at, and the idea that the Phillies might not be done after adding Zach Wheeler, that they could go out and, you have the USA Today report that they're looking at Anthony Rendon and preparing to make a bid on him. And it's like, wow, how much money do the Phillies have? They just signed Bryce Harper last year and Zach Wheeler to a 9-figure contract. But you know what? Those are the things that you can do. And obviously, we talked about this last time I was on a few months ago. I love what the Phillies ended up doing with their manager. I think they got the best guy in Joe Girardi. That's a guy that's going to make his team play up right off the bat, comes in, credibility. He's won a World Series as a manager. There's no learning curve there. I think that's just a phenomenal hire by the Philadelphia Phillies. So they definitely got a shot in this thing.
Last one for you, Pete. Monday Night Football, the Giants are coming in here. Eagles haven't seen them yet this year. It's weird not to see a division opponent until the first the first week of December here. Eagles just coming off.
Much.
Yeah, well, that's true. But they're coming off a loss to the Dolphins. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being panic, 1 being put your feet up, this is an easy win. What should I feel heading into the game Monday night?
No, I don't think you should be panicking a whole lot, unless Eli Manning is turning back the clock. And even then, look, they don't have an offensive line to protect Eli. They weren't doing a great job protecting Daniel Jones, and it looks like Jones is going to miss this game Monday night. Saquon Barkley looked better his last game against the Green Bay Packers, but he's obviously been compromised ever since he suffered a high ankle sprain back in like October. So the Giants just don't have a whole lot to beat you offensively. Defensively, they're horrendous. So Well, I know the NFC East, it's like anything goes. It's just loss after loss. The Cowboys still in first place with a losing record right now. But, no, I think Eagles fans should be safe to kick up their feet, enjoy some popcorn, and have a smile on their face on Monday night.
Sounds good to me, Pete. I appreciate you hopping on. You have a great night.
All right, you too, Joe. Thanks.
There he goes. Pete McCarthy from up in New York. Let's grab Max in Swedesboro quickly. What's up, Max?
Hey, Joe. Great show. I love listening to you.
Thank you, buddy. What's up?
And I'll give you the honest opinion on Wheeler.
Okay, I'm interested in what you have to say. Tell me.
All right. When he's really good, he's good. And when he's really bad, he's bad. There's nothing in between. And the problem is, let's use DeGrom as an example. DeGrom can get you through seven innings with not his best stuff. Wheeler, if his stuff is off, he gets bombed. So in other words, if you have a one-game playoff or a wild card, he's not your guy. And that's the honest to goodness truth.
It feels it feels like you're describing a guy that has great stuff, but somehow ends up with a 3.96 ERA.
Yes, he's a poor man's AJ Burnett. Exactly, it's a perfect comparison. Now the Mets aren't cheap, and they wouldn't have signed him even if he was worth it. But $120 million. That's a lot of money for a guy, honestly, who's never been proven.
Yeah.
And I think they'll be disappointed in him. Honestly, that's the truth.
You know what? My gut, Max, and I appreciate the call and the perspective. My gut is that's right. And he's not going to be great over the next 5 years. Hopefully it's more good than not good. And hopefully there's some flashes of greatness because the Phillies are paying for that. 888-729-9494, #9494. That's how you hop. When we come back, a loaded hot stove check-in. Rumors about Anthony Rendon, Josh Donaldson, Steven Strasburg. Hear from Joe Girardi on Zach Wheeler. And really what the consensus out there, what the Phillies think they're getting or could get out of Zach Wheeler. It's a lot. You'll hear about it. Hot stove check-in coming up next with the winter meetings starting on Monday. 888-729-9494. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.